Hey, it's Danielle, Will, and Ryder from Pod Meets World. Thanks to our friends at Hyundai, we were able to record a very special episode for you guys at the one and only, wait for it,
Boy Meets World House.
Take a listen.
Are there any moments or spots on any of the sets we worked on over the 7 years that you guys felt more at home, that were like your little spots on the set you like to hang out?
I'm afraid it was the sink.
Oh, really? Yes.
Oh, yeah.
You had to act by the sink a lot.
Yeah.
I was behind the counter.
Yeah.
Right. Doing business constantly.
Uh-huh.
Mom stuff.
Uh-huh. And disciplining you in some way.
This has been brought to you by the fully electric Hyundai Ioniq 5. New episode out now. You can listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, iHeart listener. We have a confession to make. Both iHeart and this commercial you're listening to right now would probably sound a heck of a lot better on the new Roku Pro Series TV. It's got side-firing speakers that fill your room with sound, Dolby Atmos audio that puts you right in the middle of the entertainment, and the ability to pair seamlessly with your home theater sound systems that already have surround sound and booming bass. If all that sounds too good to be true, it'll sound even better on the new Roku Pro Series. Your hearing isn't better. Your TV is.
An October morning in a quiet suburb in a town in Scotland. A man is walking his dog when suddenly shots are fired from a car. The man falls to the ground and the car speeds off. An ordinary residential area, but extraordinary things happen in ordinary places.
The instinct right away was it was a political thing.
We're talking about Russian-trained, high-ranking officer in the Secret Service.
An Assassin Comes to Town, a six-part podcast. Available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Guys We Fuck,
the anti-slut-shaming podcast.
Yo, you haven't said?
I'm Christina Hutchins.
I'm Corinne Fisher.
Boyfriend.
Bring us your slutty, your horny, and your shame.
Hey, you a slut?
Yes.
Okay.
Let's talk about fucking.
What up, fuckers? How you doing? Where you been? Welcome to another episode of Guys We Fucked.
It's the Anti-Slut Shaming Podcast. I'm Corinne Fisher.
I'm Christina Hutchinson.
Should we have moved this camera or?
No, the camera's fine.
Oh, yeah, that's the third one that's not on it.
Well, I'm saying like so we could get two shots. Okay, anyway, that's fine.
I was told
the wide
only one
is,
shot.
The wide is the one. The close-up was at a weird...
Well, okay, because I was like, we technically should still have both, but okay, that's fine.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that later. Okay, so guys, if you want a little behind-the-scenes action, if you want to write us an email, you know what time it is. It's sorryaboutlastnightshow@gmail.com. Today's subject line, to move in... or to not move in? That is the question.
Probably hey. Not. I like to answer them ahead of the time and then see if I was right.
Hey, Christina and Corinne. So here's the deal. I'm a 26-year-old woman. I've known this guy, 33 years old, for about a year. We actually just started dating 3 months ago.
No.
Yeah, don't fucking move in. Now, the backstory is that he got out of a pretty serious 5-year-long relationship about 6 months ago.
Oh my God.
So 3 months into his newfound singledom, you guys started dating.
Jesus Christ.
After that, he decided to move to a small town not too far from where I live, and he's staying with his mom.
He's having a full nervous breakdown.
Yes, he is. Now, here's where it gets tricky. He's really keen on moving in with me at my place where I live with my brother.
Yeah, because he wants to get out of his mom's house.
Correct. The writing's on the wall, girl. You just gotta look at it.
Is it love or is he living with his mom?
He's probably, it's because he's living with his mom. I'll admit, I've been a bit all over the place with my decision on this. Sometimes I've said yes, and then other times I've pulled back and said no. Here's the thing. I really think we can make it work living together, but I can't help feeling like it's just too soon.
Houston, that means it fucking is.
That's your gut telling you what to do.
I also like how she's like a Carrie Bradshaw. She's like, I just can't help but think it's too soon. It's
I
like,
can't help but
look
wonder.
At a calendar. It's yeah. too soon. We don't have to have feelings. We literally can look at a calendar and go, whoops.
You could count the amount of days you've been together in under a minute. Stop. I mean, he just got out of a serious long-term relationship earlier this year. There we go. Yes.
One major factor.
Okay, putting two and two together, girl. And we've finally been officially, and we've only been officially together for 3 months. Again, another important thing to consider. There we go. Recently, though, I've finally made up my mind.
Everything's
about it.
Recent in your relationship because you've only been together for 3 months.
Yeah. I had an honest talk with him and told him that I think we should hold off on moving in together for now, especially seeing that I am already living with my brother. I let him have a room until he gets back on his feet.
She's like a homeless shelter for men.
Yeah, but guess what? He's very angry with me. Ooh, that's a red flag. And giving me the silent treatment. Ooh, two red flags. And you know what, girl? That's a gift.
That's okay? So funny. It's scroll back gift. To the part where she was like, I really think we can make a living together work.
Please know that these red flags are a gift and not a challenge.
Yeah.
Okay, it's not a fucking challenge, all right? He's accusing me of toying with his feelings and playing mind games.
Oh,
okay,
I love that.
This guy has the potential to be very emotionally abusive then. I'm not saying that he is, but I'm saying if he was, I wouldn't be like, what? He's accusing me of toying with his feelings and playing mind games because I've been back and forth on the whole idea. I mean, that's what happens when you're trying to make a decision.
Correct.
The thing is, my mind is set now. I really do believe the waiting before taking such a big step makes more sense. I even suggested that he could find his own place nearby so we can still see each other all the time, but he's not really into that idea, even though he can totally afford it. Okay, this guy sucks. I do not like him.
I don't even think he likes you. I think he just wanted to stay in a place.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That wasn't his mom's place.
He's upset because he was really looking forward to living together.
No man's that excited. Stop.
And now things have taken a turn. But come on, isn't it okay for me to change my mind? Yes.
Always.
I'd really appreciate your take on this. Am I being unreasonable here? I'm a little alarmed that you cannot see what red flags are swimming with this guy. What the fuck? You just started dating and he's mad at you for changing your mind, which is something that people do. You were in the middle of making a decision.
This guy better be so fucking hot.
I don't even care if he's hot, dude.
This guy better be so hot.
He better eat you out for like 8 hours. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or whatever you like getting done. Fingering. Some people are more finger people.
Cleaning.
That's me. Yeah, he should cook for you.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Jesus Christ. This is insane. This guy... If you were my friend, I would say something. Maybe. I would say something to you and be like, dude, I can't.
Get out of this relationship. This guy's having a full breakdown. He needs to mourn the old relationship.
He's 33.
It's too soon. He's living with his mom. He's immature for 33. All signs point to now. Everything about this is a no.
I'm going to guess, we'll never know, but I'm going to guess that the reason why he's so eager to move in with you so quickly is because... it will make him forget about the pain that he's experiencing with his breakup.
Yeah, he needs a Band-Aid and it's you.
Yes. Women are not
Don't
Band-Aids.
Be stupid.
Women are people. Okay? So we're going to not be a dumb bitch and we're going to walk away and we're going to say sayonara.
I cannot reinforce the fact enough that you guys need to read back the emails before you press send on them. Write them out. It's cathartic. And then read them back and pretend you're not you. Reading your own email
record.
And think, would I think this person is a dumb bitch? And I gotta be honest, you're gonna say
Probably,
almost 99% of the time.
Yeah, yeah. And honestly too, I've noticed people are asking the wrong questions. I would be more concerned with why you didn't, like the fact that he's rushing you to make a very important decision and acting like you don't have the right to like, to kind of reason it out loud with yourself and change your mind. That's crazy. If a friend was like that towards me with a decision, even if it had nothing to do with them, I'd be like, get off my dick, dude.
Also want to know why moving in at this point was even on the table. Like, did he just bring it up out of thin air?
Hey, here's a fun idea.
Yeah.
I need a place to live.
Where the fuck did this even come from?
Can he afford to live on his own? I don't know. Because the thing is, I'm glad that the people that are writing in that have a problem that's very, we would label it right away, dumb bitch, dumb bitch, dumb bitch. I want you to keep writing in because there's still a disconnect happening. But it's not that, am I being a dumb bitch or not? You know you are. The question is, and what I'd way rather help you figure out, is why? Like, what's going on here? What are you not seeing? Like, why are you kind of guarding the truth? Does it relate to something in your life that was old, like an old thing? I don't know.
It's so funny to be like, it's not whether or not you are stupid. It's like, why are you stupid?
Well, yeah, but to me, I've, you know.
The why is always more interesting.
Yes, and I've been on the self-help bandwagon for a really long time. And the thing is, like, I've witnessed myself dance around what the actual issue at hand was. And so it's always the why. And it's always, I think that's the safest bet. It's like, dive into yourself internally. You know, we get a lot of emails about why is he doing this? Why is he doing this? Why are you taking it?
Yeah. I mean, that's why the Guy Winch breakup, advice of making the list of the reasons why the person's not good for you is so simple yet so genius. And I even like not in a listicle sort of way, but I use that kind of tactic with myself all the time when I'm missing someone that I shouldn't miss or thinking about something that I shouldn't think about. I literally just sit and then go over all the terrible things that person has done to me, the ways that in which they've made me feel that were negative. And I really am able to talk myself out of it quite easily and be like, can you imagine? I actually think of this like, can you imagine if someone wrote into the show with all these things?
Yes.
You would mock them. Yes. You would mock them. Yes. And then I just mock myself. And then there you go. Healed.
Healed, baby.
Healed.
Guys, come see us live. Okay, we're going to be in Vegas at the end of the month, end of September. I'm going to be headlining Springville, Utah, October 20th, 21st. Bridgeport, Connecticut, November 2nd through 4th. Chicago, November 10th and 11th. Nashville, one night only, November 12th. Fucking very excited for that. And then Springfield, Missouri, November 16th through the 18th. And as always, I have a Patreon where for $5 a month, you could sign up. And actually, it might be 10 at this point by the time this is coming out, depending. Well, go on and see. It's patreon.com/Christina Hutchinson. I host a Zoom group lamenting session and I post the audio afterwards. So if you can't make it, you can listen to it. It's very interesting. And it's really nice to have good conversations where people kind of like have, in my experience with these Zooms, they've already done the analysis on themselves and we get to the why is this happening? You know, like what is the roots of these things and exploring that. So it's a really nice place to figure out your shit.
And then, of course, you can listen to me on my solo podcast, Without a Country. It's political. It is social issues. It's a little bit of pop culture. Super fun. And we do some like random interviews. Like I interviewed this guy who was trying to make math religious, which was fascinating. I interviewed one of Chris D'Elia's survivors, victims, depends on how you want to say it. I mean, I think a lot of times she would say victim. So just some really interesting kind of like off the beaten path interviews on that show as well. You can subscribe on YouTube at Without a Country and make sure to follow Without a Country podcast on Instagram. And then Washington, D.C., I'm stacking up some dates for 2024 right now. That's the first one. I'm headlining D.C. Comedy Loft February 29th through March 2nd. Super excited for that. Always have a great time in D.C. That ticket link is already available at CorinneFisher.com or in the Linktree link in my bio on Instagram, which is at Philanthropy Gal. Make sure you're following us all on social media. Again, you know, everyone asks, you know, how can we help the podcast? Especially if you're not subscribed to Luminary, like we totally get it. Everyone doesn't have the funds to do that, but a free, incredible way to help is to make sure you're following us all on social media. I'm at Philanthropy Gal.
I'm at Christina Hutch.
And I'm at Mike Coscarelli.
And of course, subscribing to our YouTube page, whether or not that's how you consume the podcast, it's youtube.com/guyswefucked without the U in fucked. And there's also a clips channel that you will see featured on the main YouTube page. Again, just a quick click and it helps us so much and we appreciate you for doing so.
Yeah. How you doing?
I'm good. You said you had a little, we never got to the thing the other episode that you were going to share.
Yeah, it was just like a thing that I observed with it being so hot out.
Is that hot enough for you?
One of our most genius works.
Classic.
You gotta see YouTube.com, baby. I've noticed that I get really like horny when I wear like slutty clothes. And you know, the word slutty to me when it applies to something I'm wearing is like, ooh, a little bit of cleavage.
Oh, I was impressed that I could even see the line in your boobs today.
Yeah.
That never comes out. That never makes an appearance.
I'm getting more comfortable wearing less clothing in public. I don't know why. I still don't know why I wasn't comfortable with it, but like I'm really leaning in hard.
Well, you explained it kind of in the past as like, because you got so much attention from a young age because you developed early.
Yeah. Yeah. But I think about like the more recent times that I'm like, no. And I'm like, what? When I really interrogated it, or maybe the effect that had on me has just disintegrated.
Right.
And now it's the new me.
The new you with a little slit.
Some titties.
A booby.
Yeah.
There's always a slit between my boobs, but it's just blank space.
look how much
I would have to push them to even create such a thing.
So wait, you can run You can do jumping jacks braless and it don't hurt.
No, it does. It still hurts.
It still hurts.
Yes, I absolutely cannot work out without a bra. It's very painful.
Okay. No. Oh, okay. Because fuck it. Oh my God. No. I have to hold my boobs when I run and I wear a sports bra.
No. Yeah, no. I can't go to the gym without a bra.
Gliding, baby. Gliding.
I never, the only time I wear a bra these days is when I'm at the gym.
There was, I noticed too, and I assumed it was because I'm not in my 20s anymore. Getting like hit on in public or like just hit on by randos walking down the street, it's kind of stopped for a while. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. I was just observing it. And I'm like, that's weird because I still feel like sexy and hot. I'm like, I think I look great. And then it just started back up again. And I'm like, literally no idea why.
Oh, really?
There's nothing I'm doing. There's nothing different.
Interesting.
Yeah. It's like it's, you know how this thing will happen, like when one of your ex texts you out of the blue, like three of them do.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of, it's like that. Like when it rains, it pours. I'm like, God damn, I really got my groove back or something. I didn't even think I didn't lose it, but like, yeah, for some reason,
summer,
I'm being
treated
different.
Worse, I feel like. I mean, I'm like, I go on my long ass Sunday walks with my dog. And I mean, just like ridiculous. And I'm never wearing makeup during these walks. So.
See, I hate that. I fucking hate that. Cause I'm like, are you, you're joking. Stop.
Well,
stop,
I did look good though, but my skin's been like very good. And I plus like I put my nose ring back in and then my hair is like really good. So I'm like, I was like, looking, I'm like, I really don't honestly need makeup, but yeah, I was like wearing, like a, you know, like those onesies that are popular now, but like a, the athletic onesie. So I have like a short, like onesie that I just, and I was like, I'm just gonna, you know, go around the city. And I wasn't doing it to get it. I fucking hate when I get attention, actually. I just like going around and spending time with my dog and bonding with him.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh yeah, this is out of control.
See, I guess, the hitting on that's happening with me is not annoying. It's like this other guy.
I find it all to be annoying.
This guy, this really cute skateboarder guy fucking skated up to me and was like, hey, I just think he was from Ireland and he was trying to tell me all about Ireland.
Oh,
and I was
these Irishmen love you, Christina. You're an Irish magnet.
I know. Good for me though. Irish guys are hot. But, and they're so like charming. And he was really cute and he was being very charming. He's trying to tell me about Ireland. I'm like, yeah, I was waiting for him to finish so I could say like, yeah, my boyfriend's from Dublin. And he, but like the hitting on that's happening with me is like quality.
That's good.
So I'm like, thank God.
I'm only interested in men under 30 and there's a lot of that in the East Village, which is good. And nice. I'm like, how do you even like, they have to approach you though. Cause I'm like, I can't look like a fucking crazy lady.
Right. You should just have a t-shirt that says,
come over. Oh, and my stand-up, I always make it very clear that I love younger guys.
Good. Yeah.
Make it very clear. And a lot of times they will come up to me after the show because I said that, but I'm like, I know I have to really let them know.
Yeah.
Really? Just everyone walking around the neighborhood looking like they're an extra from Euphoria. I'm like, this is great.
Yeah. Get that, those gaunt abs over here.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. They all look like that guy, the bad boy who also isn't, he's not American. He's Australian or something.
Bad boy.
The bad boy from Euphoria. The one whose dad is
the hot guy. Oh my God. That guy's so
hot.
Fucking hot.
It's
unfair.
I saw a guy who looked just like him on the subway. And I was like, I very rarely like stare at men and I could not stop looking at this guy. I was like, this guy is so hot. I don't even care if he sees me staring at him.
Yeah.
Insane.
It's so rare for a woman to have the opportunity to be blown away by a man's looks.
Yeah.
And honestly, like New York, it's happened to me more in New York than any other city, but I can count on one fucking hand the amount of times that it's happened.
Yeah. It's very rare that I'm just like, that I actually can't control it.
Yeah.
I mean, okay. I can always control it, but that I like not making an effort to control
it. Yes. It's like me with firefighters. Like when it's a hot one, I'll catcall them. I don't give a fuck. I'll ask them what they're doing later.
Also,
I don't even intend to follow up with any of that. I'm just like, it's like, I act like a dude.
The firefighters want attention too. They're always hanging out with with the door open.
Oh yeah.
Just like doing little exercises. One time recently they just had, a saw, an electric saw, chainsaw. And they were just like, going like this. They were just like going like this in front of that firehouse for no reason.
Nothing.
And I was like, well, because they have to do their little exercises to practice for the fire.
Right.
That's my favorite part.
Oh, yeah. Might as well do them on the fucking curb.
They're always practicing. Sometimes they take the ladder out and they practice climbing to the roof.
Wow,
they're always very busy, you know?
That's awesome. I fucking love that.
Yeah. And then I also always walk Alfred by. But then they started this thing where they have a box of milk bones for all the neighborhood dogs. Now Alfred acts like a hot girl when he walks by. He's always like, because he'll always like kind of peer in like, am I getting a milk bone or not?
Wow.
And he's He's on a very strict diet, and I don't even allow him to eat. I would never feed my a milk bone. What is he, a peasant? I would never feel it's like the cheapest dog food. But I love them so much, and it brings the firefighters and Alfred such joy that I let Alfred eat a milk bone from the firefighters.
That's very sweet.
Even though I feel like, I mean, to me, that's the equivalent of like every now and then you let your kid have McDonald's.
Sure.
That's Alfred's McDonald's is milk bone.
Yeah.
What's even in that? Come on.
Air.
I wish it was just air.
Swamp.
It's probably just like ground up like chicken bones or something.
Yeah.
Who knows? I don't know what's in there. Yeah.
How are you?
I'm good. What did I read on here?
I'm excited for summer to be over, though, because goddamn this heat.
Oh, isn't it awful?
It's hard to breathe.
It's hard to breathe. Oh, yeah. Well,
it's when it gets this hot, which we've been lucky. But man, when I was in Dallas, Texas, we really got to bust climate deniers to Dallas, Texas, because Jesus Christ, it felt like the wind burned my skin.
Uh-huh.
It was 106 degrees. It was so hot. I was like, it made me angry.
Damn.
I could have napped for like hours and hours and hours after doing a 5-minute walk outside. It's wild.
The wind burning your skin. Well, I was thinking about that. I'm like, there's always a point in the summer, and we are at that now where I'm just like, I'm good.
I'm over this.
It's August, one of the worst months, man.
I'm just,
just sweaty and like my skin, like, and my hair can't get a fuck, catch a fucking break.
It's just, go, okay, we get it. It's hot. It's too much. And then I just start thinking about like, you know, what Lana Del Rey was really on to something with summertime sadness. I'm like, because overall I've been like very happy, but then I'm like, there is a point in summer where it almost feels like summer and everyone having a good time in summer is like mocking you.
Yes.
And you're like, I get it. You're like, we all love summer so much. And also I just like, I know that like anytime someone says summer's their favorite season, I'm like, we're not going to get along.
Yep.
Like we just see things differently. Like, yesterday I had my first pumpkin spice latte of the season. Which,
already?
Yeah.
It's like fucking CVS putting out Halloween candy.
Yeah,
what the fuck? Give us a second.
No, August is Halloween time and I'm all for rushing it because I'm like, I would like that season to last 3 months. And they've found out how lucrative it is. So they've started doing it. And normally I am very good about like saving it till it's like till September. But I was like, no, we're doing it today.
Just lean in.
And I did it yesterday and it was great. It's like the most basic bitch thing about me and I don't care.
It is, but it's so delicious.
It's fucking
who doesn't like a pumpkin spice latte?
It tastes so good.
Yeah, and you're insane if you I get making so fun of liking it for sure. 100% I'm right there with you as I'm in line for it. But you can't you can't drink that shit and tell me it doesn't taste like liquid gold.
Oh my god.
It tastes
god.
Like an orgasm in your mouth.
It's fucking great.
It's really good.
Hopped around drinking a pumpkin spice latte in shorts.
Great.
Incredible. Michael, who are we dating these days?
I have a little thing that's happening, but it's not trying to not get too ahead of myself.
Okay. Wise.
Trying not to get too excited about it.
Yeah, I have told Corinne about it, but it's
that's good. Yeah.
She's nice. She's older than I am. One of the first times I've kind of experimented with somebody.
I thought you had to date. I know you've had relations with.
Yes, I've
wait,
I've
how many years older?
Not much older. Like I think she's only like a year older.
Oh,
she's Jesus, you know, Christ. It is different. Usually
she's a geriatric.
No, I didn't say that.
I feel like 1 to 2 years is like basically like not a difference.
I wouldn't even say older.
I would just say it's different than what I've typically dated. Usually the
substantially
range,
younger.
Not substantially younger. I mean
much younger.
The range is like usually 28. 27 maybe 27 to like around my age.
So right.
Yeah, that's
not
fair.
That crazy, but yeah, but we'll see what happens. It's still very, we're definitely not official and we're not like, we've just been hanging out. It feels cool.
Feel each other out.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Nice. It's going in a good direction, but it's not like,
right. I haven't heard any frantic, like, yeah, I haven't received any frantic calls. So I like that.
I really am a little too busy to like date.
Ooh, that's the attitude. Ooh, I'm getting horny. That's the uh-oh. Attitude that the ladies like.
It's just like starting a business is a nightmare.
Keep talking.
If I would have known that it was going to be this much work and this stressful in January when I started my venture, I probably wouldn't have done it.
Hey, it's like Beyonce with Coachella.
Yeah.
Fucking, she's like, I'll never do that again.
It's a lot of work.
Well, we talk about it all the time. Running your own business is the worst thing you can do yourself. You will be your meanest boss.
Yes.
Of course.
Yeah.
It's brutal.
And there's always something that you could be doing at all times.
Yeah. And then there's even just like you're sitting around, like if it's not worth, we're not recording this. If I'm recording somebody else, I get a text that something else isn't done.
Yeah.
Like you're just constantly trying to put out fires at all hours of the day. And I will say that so far with the So I haven't been dating in terms of like going out with a bunch of different people. Mm-hmm. And I think that's also the weird thing about starting to kind of like somebody. You're in this position where like, I haven't been in a relationship in so long. You kind of have to, like, I'm in the process of reprogramming in my usual instincts.
Priorities.
Like, yeah. Like if I have any downtime, a lot of times it's just like a knee jerk reaction sometimes to pick up the phone and check Hinge.
Totally. And totally. It's like, totally.
I'm not actively on Hinge looking to meet anybody else. It's just kind of like this thing that I have to stop myself from doing because I've done it for 2.5, almost 3 years now, you know?
Yeah.
So it's this weird transition period where it's like I don't have a girlfriend yet, but I'm not like, it's not like I wouldn't, if the situation was right, like potentially still hook up with somebody because we're not quite there yet. And I don't want to get too ahead of myself.
I hope she's listening to this.
Me too.
I'm talking, by the time she hears this, it'll also be weeks from when we recorded it. But
hot.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah,
it's just
yeah.
This weird thing. You're like reshifting your...
Something I saved. I have like Guys Who Fucked intro topics in my Instagram. And this quote was really interesting. It's nothing profound. It's very simplistic, but it lends itself to what you're talking about. I'm like, in a relationship, you can't just do what you want. You always have to think about the other person. And that's what people don't understand.
Oh, I understand it. That's why I try to stay out of them.
Right. And there is
I understand
like
it all too well.
Yeah. And there is like to shift your priority. Because I remember, Mike, like you were very like you really took dating seriously.
Yeah.
And then after your business, like having your own business that you're excited about, like regardless of how stressful it is and like mind numbing at times, you know, that's where you're putting your energy.
Yeah. Well, and it's the weird thing in now is like I get so stressed out during the week that there are times where on the weekend that there's still part of my brain that's like, all right, it's bender time. Like it's time to like go
totally,
out,
yeah, yeah.
Like meet a girl, get drinks,
get
like
fucked.
Yeah, like have a crazy weekend or whatever. Because it's
I
like
love those nights.
Those finance guys, this is the perfect example. Those dudes push it to the limit during the week.
Fuck yeah.
And then they're just like they lose it.
And then Mikey comes in and sweeps up the ladies.
No, it's just kind of, it's just this thing where it's like I'm reprogramming like how I do because
you're working harder and you're playing harder.
I'm working harder and I'm playing harder. But I also am in a phase of my life where like the times that I have hung out with this person, we've kind of gone back and forth with like going out to dinner and like hanging out on the couch.
Yeah.
And like we're finding that balance, I think, already. And the times that like I get to hang out with her on a Tuesday or something when I'm like, all right, I have 4 hours tonight where I don't have to like record or edit or anything. Like, let's hang out. Let's watch a movie. It feels really good. So
yeah.
I'm trying to embrace the fact. And I do think that this person is into me, which is a newer thing.
Well,
we've talked about this before.
You kind of
always date unavailable women.
Yes. Yeah. Well, there's part of
it doesn't mean they don't like
that.
You though.
No, but right. Unavailable means a lot of things.
They don't see like a whole future with you.
Perhaps.
Right?
They're not in.
So I think I'm just trying to let myself, I'm trying to give in to the ease of that.
Having to stress about someone.
Yeah. Of just like somebody that is like kind of letting it be known that she's into me. And
fascinating.
I think that there's like something that's really nice about it. That now there's like a connection with somebody that
this
like
is hilarious.
Asked me about my
Mikey?
Day.
Oh my God. I will like, never understand. I know it is so common and so many people write us in, but it is so hard for me to grasp the interest in someone not interested
okay,
in
so
you.
I'll explain.
I will never get over this.
I will tell you. I mean, it's just not something that you would be ignited by, but for some people it's fuel. It's weird because it's a chance to prove that you are worth love.
No. I conceptually understand why people are doing it. It still just doesn't. I go, why would we do this to her? It feels so self-destructive.
Oh, of course
feels
it is.
So
yeah, very,
wild.
It, very like, self-destructive.
It feels wildly self-destructive to a point where like, damn.
And like everything that you're like, all the bonding that's happening allegedly in that type of relationship is fake. Like it's not actually, it's like all in your head. It's wild.
Yeah.
It's wild. It's wild. But man, it's a weird, I don't want to say motivator. That's not the right word. But like I have gotten so into men who were not into me in the past that like, and I think back, I'm like, what the fuck?
Because when they don't like you, they kind of give you enough. You feel like you've been chosen.
Yeah.
The breadcrumbing.
But,
yes.
But another option is someone who chose you outright without you begging for it.
That's not as fun. That's like,
no, it's actually more fun. I assure you.
Well, right. Cause it's a healthy bond.
Cause you don't feel like you had to convince someone they just liked you the whole time.
Well, and I think somebody who's constantly going after unavailability is just your notion, your like ground zero level of how to be is too much. It's too much work. It's too much grinding of the gears,
that
but it's
right.
like, it's what you accept as the level zero. Whereas the actual level zero is just calm and reciprocated. Mm-hmm. And we go at whatever pace we're going to go at. And there's no clinging and there's no.
Cause like, even if you convince someone, even if I was like, for instance, like, even if I like did the undertaking of trying to get someone to like me mm-hmm. and I ultimately got them to like me, how do you not constantly think, wow, I had to do so much work to get this person to like me. What is so special about them that I had to earn their love in such a way?
That's the reasoning that doesn't go through your head that should. Huh? That's not even a thought. Like the time I'm thinking of the times that I've gone after somebody who wasn't available. I didn't ask myself that question, which is why I kept doing it.
Oh yeah. Cause I would just honestly be like pissed.
Yeah.
I always
was able to achieve it, I would just be like, the fuck did I do that
for? Yeah, why was all that work
for?
Fuck
this person. Who the fuck is this person?
Yeah. I feel like as a guy, though, in my personal experience and my perspective, I think that that's like a common thing. I think you're constantly—
For men to do that or for women to do that?
For men, I think you're constantly like baiting the hook. And I think that like men
it's
are—
It's part of the dance of courting for sure, or just, like flirting.
Sometimes. I've never had, any time a man has tried so hard to get me to like him, I lose respect for him immediately. Anytime it's actually worked, it's been like pretty equal feeling for one another.
Well, yeah, I guess maybe that's the key. I mean, obviously all the situations that equality. I'm talking about, they haven't, nothing's right. worked.
Yeah.
So maybe you're right, but—
There's no, any of the instances where it's worked, it was never one person— way more than the other person. Mm. I mean, I think there was times when like it seesawed a little bit. I think it's like very hard for it to always be exactly even. That's like almost impossible. There will always be phases where one person likes the other person a little bit more, but it was never like any of the ones that worked was never like wildly off center like that.
Yeah.
Cause I would either be annoyed by the person trying too hard.
Yes.
Or I would be like, the fuck am I? Like I would, the other one instance just would never happen, to be honest. It's crazy.
Yeah, man.
Very fascinating.
People get absorbed in their own mind.
Well, I'm excited to try something new.
I'm excited for you.
Yeah, me too. You deserve it, Mikey.
And I hope it feels good.
It does.
I'm glad it feels good because you said it like does feel good. I'm like, that's awesome. I think that's a really healthy sign.
I'm trying.
As long like as it, yeah, just a worry that it feels boring. You know, that's like that.
Right.
That I think is the thing that you have to worry about.
Yeah,
that,
yeah.
That like if you start sensing that it feels boring.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to be cognizant of it. And again, I'm not trying to get too far ahead of myself. Like I think the end of the summer is a busy time to kind of meet somebody. Mm. Even though we're like cuffing season comes up quick.
Yeah.
But I think it's just, yeah. Cause like everybody for like all of August, it seems like everybody's like out of town on the weekends, like kind of like getting the last breath of summer, and then September hits. And then people are like more,
so
I told you at the beginning of the summer, I thought this year that like, the apps were going to be like everybody's single, everybody's out, whatever. I don't think anybody is even really just like this was the first summer that I lived in the city where it just felt like nobody was here. Everybody was constantly either on trips or in the Hamptons or at the shore or something. And it's just weird. I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm in my 30s now. People are getting older. But I just thought that based off of last summer and the summer before, I was like, summer's going to be popping. Like there's going to be people that are just like
open for business.
Yeah. And it just like wasn't the case. So I don't know. It's just weird thing. I'm trying to just like keep it at a good pace and take it slow enough where it's like, you know, we've been seeing each other for, I guess it's almost a month now. So, but you know,
you're feeling it out
once a week, maybe like here and there. So it's not like we're not like, it's not too intense yet, but I do dig her and hopefully this will be like something. What
that's
are you laughing
nice
at?
That you said dig. It just made me laugh.
I'm an old man.
But I say
I do dig her.
I dig her. She's radical.
Let's see what's up.
Oh my God. You know who else we dig?
Our freaking guest.
Yes,
what a beautiful, that was so smooth. She's a legendary, she's a legend in the adult entertainment industry as a performer, as a director, as a writer. She founded the website burningangel.com and she's the host of the new podcast, Just the Tips. Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to the show, Joanna Angel.
give Moira gas. To the dancing girls and all you dancing people all over this world, may you reap 10 times the love that you sow, and may there be sweet music every place you go. And if you see them dancing boys hanging out on the corner making too much noise, won't you tell them I was asking for them, that they look great, so never lose their sweetness in the face of hate. And we'll be dancing at the discotheque, dancing in the nightclub, we'll be dancing at the chip shop, we'll be dancing.
We are here with the legend herself, Joanna Angel. So happy to have you. I've been wanting to have you on Guys Who Fucked for all minute.
Oh, so exciting. Well, welcome. It's good to be here.
Yeah.
It's good to be here. Yeah.
You were saying you enjoy talking about things that aren't sex. So like, what else? What do you enjoy talking about?
Everyone's going to just turn off the episode
now. Fuck it. No, they need to get the, to know the whole look, you. And then that'll be even hotter. And as a tease for everybody listening and watching now, I do have some very specific questions for me
that I want answered about
giant dicks.
I love talking about sex. You know, I'll be honest. I do like talking about sex. I mean, I like talking about food.
Yeah.
I'm a marathon runner now. I like talking about running. I actually, you know, sometimes I just like... listening to other, I like hearing other people's stories, you know, different people's professions, you know, I don't know. That's boring.
Yeah. Sometimes you just want to exit your own world.
Yeah. Like now, living back in New York City for the first time in like, you know, 12, 13 years or something. Oh, I felt like living in LA, everybody was talking about entertainment,
yes,
or like,
correct,
you know, and like different ways to make
the
it,
Uber
different
driver,
ways to be famous,
CBS,
different ways. This, it's actually really great to be in a city where so many, anyone who's like very successful here, or just anyone in general, like make a living, doing things that aren't entertainment, you know, like, so it's sometimes it's really exciting for me to hear about like the most mundane jobs,
totally,
you know.
Totally. Well, also too, like everything in moderation, right? So it's like we're comics for a living, and it's like, I mean, I can't really get tired of laughter, but I was gonna say, like, do you get tired of sex? Like, does sex lose its luster because you're talking about it, you've been doing it for a lot, you know? Are you just like, can we just cuddle?
Look, I love talking about sex, and I love having sex.
Do you ever not love having sex? Like, does your libido ever?
I will say sometimes I get bored of talking about porn.
You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or like, more like, I think because it's almost like imagine if you were just like, I mean, I imagine you guys are pretty like established comics, you know, mm-hmm. you've reached a certain level. Like, imagine if like, you were having a conversation with like a brand new comic who was just like really like had stars in their eyes, and like, they're just like, go, go, go. And they have all these plans. And of course they want to talk about like, and then I'm going to do this. And then I want to do this. And then I want to do this. And like, can you give me an advice? And like, I want to, you know, like sometimes it's like, it's that energy
is draining,
a little bit draining.
And also having,
you know,
the same type of conversation over and over and over again. Like, that pisses me off, even though it's not the person's fault talking to me, because of course they're going to be experiencing these desires, but it's like,
they have every right to want to talk about
them. Yeah, I've retired from giving you advice.
It's like
on
they're
this.
Coming into the party and I'm leaving the party.
Totally.
I'm on my way.
Well, cause you need to be interested in the conversations that you're having.
I hope that doesn't like offend anybody.
No, I feel that
I'm
way.
I'm excited when anyone, you know, like I love everyone, and you know, I'm happy to always, you know, try to give advice to people, and you know, and whatever. Sometimes now, especially, things are so different from when I was a newbie in the industry, you know, when people ask me for advice, I'm like you guys know more than me. I'm asking advice from them, you know, like
the platforms have changed. That's very similar
to
podcasting.
Podcasting,
like,
similar. Yeah.
It's a completely different template now. Like, it's I'm like, we can tell you what we did, but it's not going to be
it's so
the same as it was 10 years ago.
I think podcasts completely changed just in the past 6 months or so. Right.
It's changed a lot because technology keeps advancing. It's just like everyone has to be doing more work and making more content for less money.
It's fucking exhausting. Yeah. That's the
name of the game, you know?
Has porn changed though since you started?
I mean, porn is, I feel like I've lived like 100 lives in the porn industry, you know? It's almost like I went to like elementary school and then high school and college and then
you were different each phase and the industry was different each phase.
I feel like I really kind of entered the industry at a time where there were just so many changes every couple years, you know? I don't know. So it's really hard to summarize like one thing and how much it's changed, you know, but I kind of came into porn when it was like sort of the beginning of pay sites. I kind of came in when DVDs were still a thing. They were on the decline, but like, I felt like when I came in, people talked about DVDs being on the decline, but then a few years later, people were glorifying that heyday of the DVDs from a few years back. Like the DVDs were here and then they went here. I came in and then they went here and everybody was like, remember when they were here? You know what I mean?
Right.
So I came in like kind of on the decline, but I still got to experience that last heyday of DVDs, I guess, you know?
In college, I loved porn DVDs. My boyfriend's friend owned a porn shop. So I got so many DVDs.
Yeah.
The covers are always golden.
Great.
I know. Fun. Yeah. The tangible, I think I got to experience the end of the tangible product.
Era.
Yeah.
I don't even know where you get a DVD player nowadays.
I know, right?
eBay?
Yeah.
I think you can play, am I going to sound old saying that? Like you can play a DVD on mostly game consoles or did that end too?
You can still do that.
Can still do that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And then you can also like, obviously like attach an external like DVD player to your computer, to your laptop.
Right. Yeah. I think the death of DVDs is when the Mac came out.
Yeah. Yeah.
That didn't have a disc drive anymore.
Right.
And actually I remember that, because I had gotten a new laptop at some point and like, I would have to, you know, do like a quick watch of my own DVDs before I like approve them from the DVD, like mastering, you know, they give you like, make sure, click on everything, make sure it works, make sure, you know what I mean? Like the actual DVD.
Like the menu. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Like they would give me this, like, I forgot what it was even called. They would give me like I can't even remember what it was called.
Yeah.
But they would give me this like master something or other.
Right.
That I would have to physically go and pick up from the
DVD version of a galley, whatever that is. Like in the book world, it's a galley. So whatever the DVD galley is.
Right. Yeah. Like where you're not, it's not like
before
creative
we go to print,
change. Exactly.
It was a draft.
Exactly.
It was a draft.
I would have to do that. And then like, I remember I got a new laptop and I'm like, oh no. Like, so I would have to like use my old laptop to like.
Do you watch porn?
Do I watch porn?
Like to get off.
Like to get off.
Not just to like, oh, what's everybody doing kind of thing. Or like, I got to see what my industry's putting out. But like to get horny.
Like rarely.
Okay.
Rarely. Yeah.
What
it's hard for me to look at it and not be like, oh, I should do that next time.
I'm like that with stand-up specials.
Yeah.
I can't watch a stand-up special before I go to bed because I'll keep thinking of notes and I'll keep thinking and I'm like, no. So I imagine with porn, that makes total sense.
I don't, you know, we came from the, I don't, how old are you?
I'm 35.
Okay. Yeah. I'm 42. So that, like, porn was very, very not like marketed to women or just accessible, really. You know, there was, when I was 18, 19, you know, like any porn that I saw was because like I was at a guy's house or something, you know, and they had the porn and I'd be like into it. But I think because I think if like maybe back in the day, because I've talked to other girls in the industry about this too. Like the younger generation, they actually, like some of their first masturbation experiences were to porn.
Yeah.
Mine wasn't.
Mine were Girls Gone Wild commercials.
Yeah, they were consumers.
I was going to say the
mine
only
were too.
Porn I saw was Girls Gone Wild.
Yeah. I don't know why, but I was like fucking 13.
Would you masturbate to that?
Yeah.
Really?
But just the commercial.
Because
I was like, ooh, scandalous.
I remember walking into, I lived in a house with a whole bunch of guys. And I remember like walking into, I don't know, somebody's room. I came home from class and I was like, hi, guys. You know,
like, what you doing?
What is everybody doing? Where are you,
Joanna?
Everyone? Does anyone want to get something to eat? And like everyone, it was in one, the one guy's room, you know, the one guy that like was like a baller and he had a bigger bedroom mm-hmm. than everybody else.
Right.
You know, he paid like slightly more rent.
Yeah.
You know, that guy. And he had a DVD player.
Yeah.
And a bigger DVD than a collection.
Bed. Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and I opened the door. And everyone in the house was like watching a copy of Girls Gone Wild. And
were they jerking off or were they just like
jerking off? They were.
Were they hard? Or did you not?
You know, no, they were.
That's where my eyes would have gone first.
They were just. Yeah, they were just watching it. I mean.
Together.
Together. All together. Yeah, right. Aww. And I remember I watched it for like a few minutes, probably like 1 minute. And I was like. I don't like this it was very like, I'm like, this feels like a whole bunch of guys grabbing girls.
It does. There's that don't a, looking be back, grabbed. When I first saw this commercial,
it's actually dramatic.
Accurate read.
I was
and
very
like,
young.
Years later.
It is fucked up. No, I look back and I'm like,
years later, and actually, that's exactly what it was.
They're coerced.
Or they were just so drunk that, you know, like whatever, didn't know they were going on video. You know, it was
right.
A different
lifting
time,
your top on camera seems like a good idea in the nighttime.
Yes. Right. Yeah. Yeah. I
but
think
I,
now.
They did, probably did not sign any waivers.
No, no. I don't think any. I mean, I think that was why it stopped being distributed. Years
that's
later, right. I don't want to stay
society.
But, you know, yeah. I don't want to say facts. You know, I don't want to speak for. Exactly. But yeah, I think that was an issue. Mm. Down the line.
Right.
You can't film drunk people.
No.
Naked.
Well, and I guess even if they did sign off, if they're drunk, that's not like a binding contract. That
right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
People
yeah,
sign
yeah,
when they're
yeah,
drunk.
Yeah, when they're drunk. Like it, so you know, all, on the street. But anyway.
Overall, the business
overall,
model
that's
is not
fine.
Great.
Yeah, but I do remember seeing that and I was like, I don't know how I feel about this. This is like weird, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
But yeah, I do remember like seeing like my uncle had like issues of like penthouse, you mm-hmm. know, like when I would like stay there, I would just like look at them.
Yeah.
Just, like, really masturbating. I was kind of like,
were you just, masturbating to them? Or are you just looking at them?
I was
them
like
going,
looking
the
at them.
This?
And then I would think I would like think about them later.
Okay.
When I, did,
I was going to ask,
you
were
know?
You always like a
like,
horny person?
Okay. So I definitely was always a horny person, but it's like growing up in the era we did, like, I wasn't like sure what to do about it.
Right.
You know, this was like way before people talked about masturbating, even in college, like sure. me and my friends, you know, like we didn't really talk about that stuff. Like
right.
it was like, we didn't, it was hard to really like get information, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're on your own.
Yeah. Yeah. And I didn't like talk to my parents about sex or anything like that. You know, you kind of just had to like figure out what to do when you could do it, you
yeah.
know? So, yeah.
What was the view in your household about sex? If that was there just no conversation about it or
okay, well, so my mom is Israeli, you mm-hmm. know. She didn't speak like she spoke like broken English,
sure,
you know
okay.
what I mean? And so she was kind of like, you know, it wasn't like don't have sex. It was just more like let's just avoid the topic.
I don't
know
how to
I
talk
mean?
About this,
sure.
so I'm not going to talk about
sure.
this.
Yeah.
It wasn't like, I definitely talked to, I think that there's a difference between like Judaism and like, you know, Christianity or Catholicism. Like, they, you know, they grow up like scared,
right.
you know, of sex.
It's a sin,
or like, yeah.
yeah,
it's a sin. But that also makes them like more excited about it too.
And kinky.
I think. Yeah, exactly. And I mean, all the girls that went to Catholic school, they were like, you know, they seemed to
Choke
know everything
me,
about it. Yeah.
right.
So yeah, it was just more of like a thing that just wasn't talked about. I mean, I'm the oldest in the family. And so my parents were still like on the, you know, trial round with me, you know, they didn't have like, I think by the time my youngest sister were born and sometimes we will talk about it. Like they had more
yeah.
of a plan, but when she was born, also my mom had just moved to America when I was born, you know, so she's figuring out the country and the language. My dad was at work all the time, you mm-hmm. know, the very boomer
yeah.
dream. He just bought a house, like trying to make, you know what I mean?
Sure.
So it's almost just like teaching me about sex was just like not on anybody's like list of priorities. You know, all I knew is, of course, my mom was, you know, like save it for marriage. That was her, you know.
Right. What would you say was your most potent sex education? Just Okay. Doing it, getting on that D.
What was my most potent sex education?
Because I think of the times I've had sex, the first couple times, I'm like, I didn't know what the fuck I was doing. And I would say,
no, I can't. Yeah.
Usually, I had a boyfriend that knew what he was doing and would tell me how to do it. And I'm like, oh, and I would say that would be my personal sex education.
Yeah. I think the first time I really was like, oh, I want to have sex was watching Molly Crew videos.
Molly Crew?
Growing up.
That.
Yeah,
I could see that.
Yeah.
They were hot.
Oh, they were so hot.
And they sexualized themselves in a way that was nice.
Totally. And MTV was very slutty back then. Yeah. You know? It was awesome. They were, you know? And yeah. I actually remember, wow, this is funny talking about going way back, you know? I had a babysitter sometimes, and she would always put on MTV. Nice. You know? this is really funny. Also, she was dating a guy in a hair metal band, and sometimes she would take me. To drive past his house.
Yes.
Yes, I love
to see
this.
If another
to get
girl was there.
Oh, yeah. To see if another girl was there.
And one time
there
was, yeah. So I learned at a young age that guys in bands were bad news.
What did she do when there was a girl there?
You know, I had to wait in the car.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
What
yeah.
drama you got to witness.
I know, right? It's very exciting. And I was like,
adults are weird.
Yeah.
Whoa.
But I remember seeing a Motley Crue music video. It was one of those music videos of the live shows. I think it was, it was Home Sweet Home, actually. And I remember there was a girl in the crowd, you know, that lifted her shirt up. You know, mm-hmm. she was on somebody's shoulders and she lifted her shirt up. And then, you know, there was the blurs on her boobs. And I just remember asking, I was like, why is that girl? Why is that girl showing the guy in the band her boobs? Clueless we
right.
were. Younger people know everything now.
I know too
They
much.
Know everything. They would know why. They would know how to get backstage. They know how to slide into someone's, you know?
Yeah.
And I was like, why is she doing that? And my babysitter was like, because she wants to have sex with him. And I was
nice.
Like,
straight up answer.
That is a good idea. I want to have sex with men on stage that look like women.
This is your core origin story.
That was that's why what do you call it? My pre-villain story. that was a really good idea. I'm going to do that when I grow up.
Few men.
So I don't know how, but I'm going to figure it out. I was inspired.
Where there's a will, there's a way. Did you ever thank this babysitter?
You know, I should have. Yeah. Yeah. I never, we lost touch after I didn't need a babysitter.
Right.
Anymore.
That makes sense.
And I don't know where she is right now, that's but you healthy. Know, I hope that everything worked
Men
out.
In the 80s were really good at sexualizing themselves. And I'm like, where did that go?
Well,
I see in porn,
changed.
Honestly.
When hair metal
porn,
went out of style, then grunge came into style. So it became cool to be ugly and sad.
Tiny.
You know what I mean? Even though they weren't ugly, even though Kurt Cobain
was
the hottest
gorgeous.
Guy ever. But she purposefully was trying not to be hot and
baggy
talking
clothes.
About being sad instead of talking about, sitting in a hot tub with 12 groupies. And, you know, it was a different era, and things just kind of went in a different direction, I guess.
When did you discover you wanted to fuck for a living?
I mean, that was way later.
Because I always, I think it's so funny. Porn stars, musicians, and comedians all get along very well.
Yes.
Famously.
Yes.
But it's so interesting to be in the presence of a famous musician and have them go, I can't believe you do stand-up. That's so vulnerable. And then the stand-up is I can't believe you, whatever. To me, singing is so vulnerable. But what's more vulnerable than that is fucking. In front
you
of people.
So? It's so funny.
It's so
because
vulnerable to me.
It seems so, I've been doing it for so long and it just,
To get that comfortable fucking, I'm like, that sounds
that's
fun.
So weird. It's so weird you would say that. You know?
Yeah, really?
Because I'm just it feels so natural to me,
What feels vulnerable to you?
It never felt vulnerable, fucking on camera. You know, I guess ever since the first time I did it, it felt freeing,
Oh, nice.
I think I actually, coming to think of it now, I think I felt vulnerable fucking off camera, but not on camera because it's off camera, you've got to think of all these things. Oh, does this person like me? You know, should I do this? Should I do this? You know, am I don't know because I don't, because because men make women insecure. I don't know. Because in general, you know, like,
that's an interesting take though. Just right? To be like, it is. Be like, I'm not, it's easy to fuck on camera because it doesn't matter if this guy likes me. I'm going to get my paycheck.
I will
no
say,
matter what.
That goes out the window. Right. You know what I mean? And like, I don't know. I've always, it's different for everyone. And I know, I don't think porn is for everyone, but ever since the first time I was naked on camera, I felt very confident, very beautiful, mm-hmm. very like not scared and insecure anymore. And I felt like that was kind of how I always felt when I, you know, when I had sex before porn, just like, because like I said, I didn't come into it with a lot of knowledge, you know, sure. It's almost like I was always learning something from the person I was having sex with, but I didn't really want to tell, you know what I mean? It's like, I don't know.
Well, I had sex with a male sex worker one time and it was the most freeing experience wait, this is weird. And I always thought, I'm like, if they made a male sex doll that wasn't expensive and I could like, you know, hide it, I would totally fuck it. Because it really ruins your ability to like have an orgasm, to have fun and to be in the moment when you're thinking like, what is this person thinking of me? Like, that's just the least horniest thought in the world.
Or sometimes, you know, you're drunk and you just met the person I don't know. Or like, there's so many different situations, you know, where two people wind up having sex, you know, or you're like dating someone and the fire is gone or you're, I don't know, you know, like,
for sure.
I think there were just so many like questions and complicated things. And you know, and sometimes it just wasn't, you know, that good, but like just fucking on camera, it's like, do you have two people there to just have awesome sex? Like that's what you have to do. You know,
you're on a mission.
Yeah.
There's
one clear goal. You're both there for the same reason.
And everyone's and like on board. Supportive.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You got your comrades there, you know?
Right. Yeah. Nice. I mean, that's the goal of the day to have hot sex. Everybody's there for that reason, you know?
Remember your first scene?
Oh yeah.
What was your first scene?
Well, I mean, my porn career was, you know, different than a lot of other people's, because I had my own, company,
right.
You know? So my first scene was like for my own company.
Nice.
And it was actually the guy in the scene. It was also his first scene too.
Almost romantic.
So, we always, you know, we'll call each other like porn, you know, brother and sister kind of.
Did you hang
forever.
Out before? Because
this is like so long ago. Yeah, I mean, this was like, I remember Burning Angel when it first launched, it was just photos. And then, which is so crazy to think that when I had a couple naked pictures on the internet, like everybody was like, oh my God,
scandalous.
You're in porn, you know, which is so crazy that like now that's so normal. Like who doesn't have a few naked photos, you know, like it's just like the most.
Par for the course.
Yeah. So, you know, then a few years later, it was like, oh, we should make our first DVD. Mm-hmm. And then I was like looking for the right guy to be in the DVD. It's so ridiculous that this is how it happened. Like I just didn't know anything about the porn industry like at all.
Yeah.
I didn't know there was like this whole industry on the other side of because I was in New York
sure.
at the time. I didn't know there was a whole industry on the other side of the country where there's just like a whole bunch of people doing this every single day. And I was like, who's the guy going to be? And he was a friend of a friend. I actually wound up filming a few things that we never used because they were just like guys I was hooking up with and they were like drunk and couldn't really do it. Or like, I think I'd be like, hey, let's film us having sex. And then like, they'd be like, yeah, sure. And then they'd show up and they see there's like a camera guy there and stuff. And they're like, wait, I thought this was just like something.
Oh, like a personal film.
This is something just for us, you know? And I'm like, oh yeah, no. I don't think they realized how serious
I
was
about it.
This is ridiculous. I mean, this is like so long ago and it's crazy to think of how little I knew and how to actually make a movie. I wound up meeting of someone who was a friend of a friend and he wasn't some guy I was having sex with and he was like serious about it. And so I think we were both like, let's do something awesome.
That's so fun.
Yeah. And we didn't.
Well, as you got into porn and doing scenes, so you have your professional sex life and your personal sex life. Were those just kind of riding parallel to each other?
Yeah.
Or did you, the personal sex have to pause? Like, for
you? I have to say, so that, you know, like I said, I've been in the industry for like 20 years. So there were multiple stages, but I guess once I was like really like, once my career was like really just, you know, going full steam, I was more excited about like on camera sex. So I think most of my like sexual energy went there, and I wasn't like all that sexually experienced, you know, like I had had sex with a handful of people, but nothing, you know what I mean?
Yeah. You found your groove on camera.
I was really learning, you know,
and like you're a legend. Like, so obviously in the porn you do, like you could tell you're having fun. And I think for women need to know, women can tell a liar from 80 miles away if a woman is faking an orgasm, I feel. So it's like whenever I talk to my female friends about porn, the main thing that they look for is if the woman's having the best time ever. And then the conversation always steers to mostly that's lesbian porn, lesbian porn.
That's not always true, but I don't know. Let the viewers think whatever they want, you know,
for sure.
Like it's so funny because a lot of times viewers will take away something from porn that's like very different than what everybody felt on set or what, you know what I mean? And like nobody, I think now, especially with all the podcasts and everything, everybody wants to see like what's behind the curtain and they want, you know, and like sometimes it's like, you know what? Like you don't need whatever you got away from the scene. That's all that matters. For sure. Like if you don't need to know.
Have you ever tried
exactly what was going on?
Tried something that you were nervous to try that you were like, oh fuck, this could go wrong.
So let's see. I mean,
like anal just seems like I've been to the ER for anal.
What?
Really? Yeah. Like it's so delicate, but like you really have to just bleeding.
Okay. So you must've torn something.
Yeah. So, but like,
you
I mean,
had to go to the hospital, like stuff the ER
well,
for that?
I was being dramatic.
I was going to say,
I was like, did I break something? I
was like, my ass bleeds all the time. Put some gauze on it.
I just didn't know. I was too new. And I had health insurance. So I was like, let me just go just to make sure. And I literally lived next door to an ER.
It is so luxurious. I wonder if like in Canada, everyone's just like always going to the ER. Like anytime like their ass is bleeding, they're like, I'm going to go.
I'm just going to go.
Famously in Canada, the ER waits are like 10 hours.
Yeah. Because they're just like, because
everyone's going.
Right.
They're like, why not?
Yeah.
But you never had like an oopsies on set?
Oh, is that our... A liquid death delivery.
Yeah, a liquid death
it's
delivery.
Liquid death time.
But like the butt,
We just I left do. It like Santa.
I know, right? Look at that.
Is that liquid death? Uh-oh.
Mom's spaghetti.
You know, it is a hot day outside.
It is so hot.
Are they cold? Ish.
They were.
They were.
Liquid death. The most metal water.
It's there. It's gone. Do you guys want
one? Oh, yeah. Mike, can we have two?
Mike, we got to really get this branding
snap,
going.
Snap, Mike. Thank you very much.
Thank you. There's always time for a liquid.
But like, you know, when we film comedy sketches, you know, shit can go awry. You forget your costume or something falls or whatever. And I imagine with sex, like, you know, it's two people and they're bought. And if you get too into it, like I've gotten too into sex privately and I'm like I almost like broke or like you know went
yeah,
down on it
yeah,
when I
yeah,
shouldn't
that's
have
happened.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, anything you can imagine happening is, you know, is most likely happened.
Yeah,
you know, on a porn set. But I mean
it's just it's so interesting to think it. Like, you know, when your industry is to film sex, like, you know, shit could go wrong, like any job.
It
like I always forget that.
I mean, also I think a lot of people don't realize, I mean, there's definitely many differences with, you know, the budget and the size of the crews and stuff like that. But like making a porn, you are making a movie. So
yeah,
the similar mishaps that could go wrong in a movie can go wrong, you know, in a porn, you know, like a set breaking or a, you know,
or you just don't feel like doing it.
You record something and the audio wasn't on and then you have to record it again, you know, like footage being lost. But everything is very different now because now, you know, I was very much in porn where every single person who, almost everyone who did porn was like on set, part of this, you know, the studio, you know, whatever. Now, like with OnlyFans and all these platforms and stuff, you know, the porn industry is very different. Like, I feel like most of the porn taking place now is like on a cell phone and in a hotel room or a bedroom for that matter, you know? So like, so it's just very different now. And that doesn't mean that the studio stuff isn't also going on, but I feel like,
I love it's very different now. Yeah. Like, cause but, I've watched porn DVDs before and you're like, oh yeah, it is nice to just have a nice build up and they come over. Usually on the porn sites for me personally, I'll just fast forward to her just getting railed and then I'll come and I'm like, wait, there is a beauty to like watching a movie.
Yeah. I spent a lot of my career, you know, directing all these giant productions, you know, and it's very funny because now my career is like turning on my cell phone and, you know, and putting it on a tripod and, you know, and having sex in a hotel room or a bedroom, you know, it's a very different thing. And I'm glad I got to experience all that.
Yeah.
You know, because I think there was some very special times, you know, and I got to really like experience porn in this crazy, like big way, you know?
Yeah. You were there for the explosion of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got to see like all the different kinds of it. But it is really wonderful now to be able to just simplify it as well.
Yeah, it's nice when you don't need a whole crew there. You can just do it yourself.
Yeah, yeah. And then you really have to be part of this thing going on. You know, like you have to be part of this community or industry, you know? Like now, like the porn industry is just so big and so broad. And it's, I don't even know, you know, it's like creators and...
It's like with comedians and like YouTubers, right? And
you're
like,
okay.
Yeah. So like sometimes we'll be on the road at a comedy club and there'll be like a YouTuber that has millions of followers and they sold out a show on a Sunday night, for example, but then it's not stand up, they're just kind of talk. And so they're figuring out, oh, wait, what do I do on stage?
Yeah.
How do I transfer the YouTube audience to a live show?
I feel like it happened with podcasters too. Like people would have a podcast that blew up and then suddenly they're like doing stand up, you know.
Right.
But the stand up kind of feels like a live podcast. I feel like I saw that before.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Anyway, there's all different kinds of, or somebody just did funny bits on TikTok and now they're doing, you know, so
right,
I
sure.
get it.
They find themselves on stage and they're like,
but you all wind up in the same place and you're all like, essentially you're trying to make people laugh, you know, just like, I feel like there's some gatekeeping now and it's kind of funny because I've experienced both and I really love this era of the industry. I like that I'm meeting so many new people. Mm-hmm. I like that I get to meet up with like Instagram, like models and stuff who would have never been on a porn set. And I think a lot of people in the industry, they get mad about that now.
Sure.
And they're like, oh, these people, like they hated porn and now they're like cashing in on OnlyFans. I'm like, I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know.
It's good for it in general. Like it is a lot more socially acceptable, like, or accepted now, I feel like. To do sex work, like finally people are like saying like this is sex work in a way that they weren't previously. So I think that's cool.
And are they though?
I think that you guys exist in a pretty sex positive world.
Right.
You know?
I mean, there's a bit of a regression now. I think
as it's gotten more mainstream, there's just as much new
interesting
hate as there is. You know what I mean? Like,
well, I think people also are like mad because like now it's like, oh, your girlfriend might be doing it.
Right,
you know, it's fine when someone else's girlfriend is doing it. Kind of a attitude about that. I can see that. Well, with the gatekeeping, I mean, like, so I think also something that happens more obviously because we have this podcast is we will get a lot of, you know, emails about like, I'm thinking of starting sex work. So, but we like really, really can't speak to that or give people advice. So like, how do you know if you're kind of built for sex work or not? Because you said earlier, like porn's not for
everyone.
Honestly,
I think if you have to ask,
you're
probably not built for it. Because anyone I know that has like launched and made it, like
they just knew.
They didn't do that. Right. You know?
Yeah, there was no doubt. No, for sure.
It's almost like they're looking for validation. You know, like they want to hear, like, yes, you're pretty enough. You're strong enough. You're this. You're that. And look, there's so many different kinds of sex work. You know, and it's like now it's so easy to get into sex work. I mean, if somebody's asking about it, it's like, why didn't you just make an OnlyFans page and see what happens? And then
why didn't you just take your damn top off?
Well, there was a period.
I mean, it's just, it's like, you don't, nobody has to get you in the industry. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's like,
you
if you're sitting around and thinking about it, like, why didn't, why didn't you already do it? Mm-hmm. You know, like,
right. And there was a period where a lot of like women were emailing us about the sugar daddy stuff. But then when OnlyFans came out, all those sugar daddy questions went away and they're like, oh, I'm just going to do this.
Right.
Because this makes more sense to navigate. Like at this, I kind of have an idea of how I would want to go about it.
Because OnlyFans are your own boss. Sugar daddy, you got a boss who's
you got to talk to somebody.
Guy.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I mean, there's nothing. If something was that easy, you know,
we'd all be.
I mean, obviously, a rich guy wants to give his money to someone but he's going to want something in return, you know?
Yeah, it's not,
they don't just deposit money in your bank account for doing, you know, like, do you really want to be on call all the time to make somebody feel good?
Yeah. That's especially when you put it that way, like, nope.
Yeah, that's kind no of, you know, you. A man for that matter. And there's a limit to that. But look, some people are really good at it. I've had, you know, sugar baby friends and they're just like so good at it.
And and they
the
like
things
it.
They say and the things they do. And I'm like, I could not. I am like not nice enough.
Totally. It's a different dance.
Like, I'm not patient enough. I mean, right now I'm probably too old to be a sugar baby anyway, but but like I see the things they do. I'm like, you have way more patience than me. You know? Like,
God bless you.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't know if I like.
So I'm also curious about like jealousy. Like, do you experience jealousy in relationships or in like more so like your life now, like after like kind of experiencing this revolution with the porn industry, like as you are in it and stuff, like, do you get jealous? Do you get like,
you mean jealous, like in a relationship?
Yeah. Like with your husband or with like, cause Dan Savage talks about this word compersion that I really love. And it's like the opposite of sexual jealousy. It's like being happy that your partner, is fucking somebody else, if that's your arrangement and stuff. But I'm just curious, like I always like to hear how people handle it. If that's even something that pops up for you.
Yeah. I mean, I think everybody wants this like magic answer, you know. Mm-hmm. It's very complicated to explain to somebody who, or maybe it's not complicated to explain. It's like really hard to translate the feeling, you know, when you're in like when sex is your job,
right? Right.
Okay. So I don't know why the world can't wrap their brain around it. Everybody knows that two people who are in a relationship on a TV show, you know, Ross and Rachel or Jim and Pam, you know, for example, on The Office, Jim and Pam, not only do they go to work and kiss each other. I mean, granted, there's not like really like hardcore sex, you know, in The Office, but there are other TV shows where it's like much more intimate, but you know, they had to fall in love, you know, they had to have like tension between each other. They had children together and they had the entire world just like waiting for them. They had a wedding, you know, and like, and even like later on relationship issues that they had to solve and everybody's rooting for them. And like everyone in the world knew that like, you know, both of them went home to people who weren't each other, you know? And even though maybe that was, you know, a little heartbreaking to know sometimes Jim and Pam weren't really together, but you know, we all got it and nobody sat there and like antagonized Jim on the internet, you know, like, oh, how do you, if she was on another TV show, how do you let your woman like do this? How do you people don't sit there and like with the two of them and be like, how do you guys do it? Like, how do you guys have this? And to me, I think that's like I would think that if I was, you know, Jim or Pam's partner at home, I'd sit there and think every once in a while, like, you know, like I'm a little uncomfortable about this. Not that I would tell them to stop doing it, but that is like, I think something that's like a very like they're falling in love with each other and they're good. You know what I mean? And an element
that's like more intimate.
It is super intimate. And I'm not saying they're doing anything wrong, but like, it just doesn't seem like the world is so like can wrap their brain around that is normal and that's accepted and that's okay. And these are both people doing their jobs.
Right.
But when it comes to porn, no one can seem to say it that way. You know what I mean? No, the world just doesn't see it that way. And I get it. There is a difference between, you know, you know, holding your hand and having a, you know, but it's like, it kind of comes from the same, like, you know,
you have a point though, because I mean, on movies, people are always like leaving, you know, husbands and wives for each other. Like
Angelina.
Yeah. Probably more frequently than in
porn.
They're
spending months together on set, you know, and like, it's like, how can you not understand, you know? Were there times when I got jealous? I don't really know if jealousy is the right word. There were definitely times I got angry, you know.
Yeah.
Or upset. Well, if
you
felt
you were being disrespected or something.
Yeah. For sure. And that usually, you know, look, as my husband got, you know, a bigger and bigger, you know, name in porn, like, yeah, there were women who actively tried.
Oh, tried to bone.
You know?
Yeah.
And that was a tough situation for me because there was nothing I could really say, you know, like in the regular world, you could be like, get off my man, you know, but like, I wasn't going to do that. I was a porn director. Like I wasn't going to start fights with female talent. Yeah. And also like if that girl like went to set that day and felt like they had a really emotional connection, like that's going to make the scene better. And like, she should continue to feel that way.
Mm, that's a very healthy outlet. That's a really healthy way to look at it.
That would get a little bit complicated sometimes. But you know, I think with any relationship, jealousy really stems from when your relationship's not good. You know, like if your relationship is not good, you're going to be scared or mad or upset when your partner is doing anything with anyone else because there's like a void there that they could fill. Or if you don't have like a strong foundation, like if you've been dating someone for years and they just don't want to like move in with you, or they don't want to, you know, they don't want to take it to the next level where you feel like they have one foot in and one foot out. Like you're going to be jealous. What can make you work through those things is having this foundation together. It's like, okay, well maybe he, you know, was definitely looking at this girl a little too much, but we have this home together, or we have this, or we have these plans together, you know? So I think what would get us through any of these like uncomfortable moments, which did come up. Not all the time, you know, I'd have to say like, you know, it was much less frequently than, you know, it was every once in a while. And when they would come up, it was like what would just get me out of the, you know, the anxiety that I would experience was just, you know, being reminded of the foundation that we shared together.
Yeah.
And I think that's the same for any relationship. And I don't, it's like, I feel like anytime a girl is jealous, like, it's for a reason. And I feel like men teach women like that means you're crazy. Mm. You know what I mean? Like almost every time a girl like had this like crazy feeling, like they're usually right. And whether that means the guy was being wrong or the girl was, you know, like sometimes I would get these uncomfortable feelings and like, you know, even my husband would be like, what are you talking about? No, like that girl, like she doesn't want anything. She just, you know, and I'm like, you know, and then it would turn out like 3 weeks later, it's like, she's like, you know, how so do you enjoy, you know what I mean? Like
anytime sometimes I'd have guys a hunch, can be oblivious.
And it's okay, whatever. Like,
I
don't like the word jealousy because like it makes like women think like there's a button they can turn off. You know, like sometimes those feelings are real and you should pay attention to them. Or if you're having those feelings all the time, like that's a toxic relationship.
Right.
And you guys shouldn't be together.
And I think about like stories we hear a lot about like, oh, my male partner is jealous. And a lot of times that's like, you know, a lot of times can be
abusive
and controlling.
Yeah,
like really.
Totally.
And, you know, it's so interesting. I think society looks at jealousy on a man's part differently than the way it looks at jealousy in a woman's part. And like Corinne has pointed out a lot of times, like with emails or some people asking for advice, they're telling us the situation. And then really what's happening, and I didn't see it at first, was the guy was pitting the women against each other.
Yeah.
And just sitting back going, nice.
And I'm like, oh, and they're excited. Like, look at these women fighting over me.
Yeah.
Right. You know, like they know what they're doing, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know. And I think as you get older and you just learn what you're okay with and what you're not okay with.
Totally.
You know, in relationships.
And you're more comfortable with yourself.
Yeah, you're more comfortable with yourself and you just, you know, you learn to communicate better. And I think jealousy happens a lot when somebody agrees to terms in a relationship that they're just not okay with, you know, whatever those terms are, like, you know, in your heart, you know, what you're okay with and you're not okay with, you know, like, yeah. Like I've known women who are like, oh yeah, like, you know, dating a rock star or something. And they're like, I'm totally fine with you not being home for 8 months at a time. Like, I think it's awesome. Like, I'm an independent, you know, and then like, they know deep down inside, they're not going to be
into it.
Yeah. Yeah. And then they start agreeing to things that they know they're not okay with, yeah. You know? And then like, I think as you get older, you just learn like what you can agree to and what you can't agree to and what kind of relationship you want and what kind, you know, you don't want. And there was a period of time where I really thought, because I identified with that community and I liked what they said and it sounded good on paper, like I was like, I am poly or I am like a swinger. I am this. And then like I started to realize like, no, I'm not. Like, right. I'm not okay with any of that. And I'm okay with, you know, with work, you yeah. know, but like, when you're a swinger, you know, you have other relationships that are not bringing in money to the household.
Right, right. You think about it totally differently. I mean,
you're just having another relationship because you want another relationship, you know?
Right.
I'm not okay with that, you know, more power to them. But yeah, it's like, I'd like to, you know, and would that be different if I wasn't in the industry? You know, like I have had the privilege and the pleasure of like being able to fuck so many people while having a husband and it's all okay. If that wasn't the case, would, you know, but I think it would be more like, you know, I like experiencing those things like with a partner, but a therapist did tell me that's still monogamy. Cause I was like, I remember trying to explore this and I was like, yeah, I like having like threesomes and like, I like going to sex parties and like whatever, but I like wanted do that like with my partner, you know, and she's like, that's sure. still monogamy.
Yeah.
So, oh, according to, you know,
going like, on a sexual venture together with your partner right. is so bonding.
Even when there's like, other people involved.
Oh, yeah. Honestly, like I, yeah. yeah. And that led me to like something else I wanted to ask you about with kink, because like I had jealousy issues, which for me, insecurity, oh, I'm not good enough kind of thing, but I kind of turned it on its head and I was like, what if I'm like a huge cuck. I love watching, like I masturbate to my boyfriend having sex with somebody, like the idea of it. And I'm like, oh, it's so
interesting.
Have you
guys done it?
With my last partner, we would do it often and I loved it. And it was
so fun.
It made me so close with him. I'm like, oh my God, I love you so much. After we did this really kinky thing.
Lucky guy.
Yeah. So people that are interested in, I think kink is such a beautiful part of sex. It can be like therapeutic in a way. So I'm curious, like, what have you learned about kink, like do's and don'ts maybe for people that are interested in it, but don't know where to start?
I think you just gotta listen to yourself, right? But there's so many different kinds of kinks, you know, right. Like if you're talking about like kinks that require like, you know, equipment, like bondage,
totally.
And
those are more advanced.
You need to do that with someone experienced. And I'm privileged or whatever that I've been able to do that stuff with people who are professional. So I felt very safe, yeah. You know?
Yeah. You can do a trust fall. That's nice.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, a lot of like hardcore BDSM, like that's very complicated stuff.
Yeah.
That you can actually like really get physically hurt, you know?
Totally.
So that's a whole other thing. And like, I don't know, I've never done that. Like
even like some, so you know? I can
so
think
I've been
of
very
like,
lucky that I've been able to be tied up by people who tie people up for a living. That
right.
Know exactly.
And
how
it does
to do
make
it.
A difference.
For not one second was I worried, like, you know, that
yeah.
something
I can't
was
get out of here. Yeah.
I got tied up once in a sex club and I was like, oh, you know what you're doing.
Yes.
Yes.
So that's good.
This
yes,
is
so
fantastic.
That's,
but even like good, to yeah. a lot of couples who consider themselves vanilla, like something kinky could be, I want you to tell me to crawl around the floor in high heels. Like that could be kinky
yeah.
too. Like it doesn't have to be the more advanced levels.
Right, yeah. I mean, I think people just have to find a, you know, if you're with a partner you're comfortable with and like you just gotta say what's on your mind, you know?
Yeah.
But, or like if you're just like, you're very like into that kink, then you should like go out and find people specifically for that kink once you're like an advanced level of kinkness, you know?
Yeah, yeah. what's your kink? Do you have a kink, like a certain kink
that
you're...
What is my kink? I mean, I like having all kinds of sex, you know? That's hard to say, you know? Anal's not like a kink, you
Could
know?
Be.
I mean, I'd have to say of the scenes I've done, I really have... I like the... I always really enjoyed my more challenging scenes, you know, like I think the most fun I ever had was like doing gangbangs stuff that like that, so mm-hmm. you know, because it's, yeah. you know, it, and it, I said earlier, I'm a marathon runner. The first marathon I ran, I was like, it was like, this felt like a gangbang, you know, like it's just this like energy and this like rush, you know, and totally. Somewhere in the middle of it, you're like, I don't know if I'm going to make it. I don't know if I can do it. Yeah. And then you push through and you're like, I can do it.
You're so accomplished.
I can do it.
You're an athlete. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I guess
you're
I do.
You're a sexual athlete.
A sexual athlete. Yeah. And when I did do BDSM, somebody told me that, oh, you're like a physical, they had a name for it. It's like, there was no like, it's like I wanted to see how far I could go, you know, yeah. not because I necessarily had like a kink for pain. I had like a kink for like, taking it to the top. I don't know. Is that weird?
No, I think that actually makes it more understandable. I'm now more interested in gangbangs because you described it that way.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like, also very good for an ADHD person. You're like, I have so much to pay attention to right now. I can't stop paying attention.
You're extremely stimulated.
I have to do this. I have to like, I can't let, you know, to me, it felt like a video game where you're like, I need to keep all of these dicks hard at all times. Like if anyone starts going down, I have to pay more attention to this one. And then I have to do that. It was like my goal.
Yeah, you're bouncing around.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, it's my goal to make sure everybody here feels like the only one in the room.
Mm.
Ooh.
That's pretty, you know.
Wow, that's power.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's beautiful.
Pretty exciting.
Yeah. You know? Have you ever orchestrated a gangbang not to film, like for you?
You know, I have not, and I know people have, and that is like so respectable because it is even hard to orchestrate with a bunch of professionals. Right. You know what I mean? It's a very difficult thing to plan and execute. I remember, I remember once doing this signing at a porn store in Florida, of course.
I love how your voice dropped.
Yeah. And I kept like people kept coming in and like going somewhere at the signing, you know, and I was like, where are they going? Anyway, I was there for a while and talked to the owner and then looked at the website and figured it out. Basically, this store was like a meetup for like where fantasies could happen. And people would post on this like store's message board, like my fantasy is this. And there was like, I'm not joking. I was there on a night where this woman who was like in her 60s, it was her fantasy to get gangbanged.
Yes,
and like guys were like showing up.
That makes me so happy.
They basically said they post on there like, this is what I want. And like, I guess they had like these booths and like, I don't know, rooms where you can make it happen. I was like,
whoa,
that really excited me more than anything else. I was like, these people are so horny.
Yeah.
They really like went out of their way. Like not only was this woman horny, like all these random guys like showing up, you know, they're just like, I'm here like to gangbang this woman.
Yeah.
On my Saturday night. Like that is what I want to do right now, you know?
Yeah.
Like that's so awesome.
That's a bold move, you man. Know? You could have just sat at home masturbating to porn, but you didn't. You got out.
He got out
you
of
got
the
off
house
the couch.
To like make this woman's dream come true. Like that's so awesome.
60. That's dope.
Feminism.
Yeah, she was in her 60s. I was like, what an icon, you know?
Yeah. For real. Ugh, that would give me so much hope.
That's awesome.
A hero. And all the men who showed up, those are the real heroes.
Really, truly.
All different kinds, you
so
know?
Giving.
All different kinds. Yeah, really. Very big age gap there, you know? It's like
for them.
Yeah,
yeah there's
good
something
for, them.
For everyone. There
something
really
for everyone.
Is. You think not a person's not going to be into the thing you're into? You just got to start talking.
You just got to start
surprised.
Talking. Yeah. You know, like life is too short. You don't want to be, you know, in your 60s
and be like,
and
yeah,
be
I, wish
like, I wish I did this. I wish I did this, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Have that gangbang.
Have that gangbang. Mm-hmm. You can make it happen.
Yeah.
Probably in Florida, but like you can
definitely,
make it happen.
Definitely in Florida, definitely but also Florida. Probably elsewhere.
Florida and Ohio, I feel like you're going
to
have
there's not a lot
luck.
To do. There's not a lot to do. I feel like right. if you tried to do that in New York, I'm going to be like, you know, I'm busy on this weekend. I'm
hard
busy
to
in this
schedule.
You know, like I'm working that night. Like it's going to be really hard to schedule.
Right.
Like people in New York have like a lot going on. They have small apartments.
Yeah.
You know, yes, it's going to be
logistically difficult.
Difficult.
That's a good point too. Yeah. Is there anything that you wish, because we're wrapping up now, but is there anything that you wish people knew about you that they, that you feel like they don't, or they always like overlook a certain part of you, of who you are?
That's very sweet. I don't know. I mean, I put a lot of myself out there, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't really know. That's a tough one to say. I guess if I really want somebody to know something about me, I just tell it to the world.
You're open.
Know?
Yeah.
I'm like an open book.
That's good. So you feel, and you feel understood.
Yeah. Yeah, that's, I do. And I'm really just like, I'm very fortunate to have my fans, you know, very, very happy that they've, been here with me this long on this, journey.
Yeah.
You know,
quite
it's,
a journey.
It's really awesome. And it's great.
That's beautiful. So where can we find more of you? What would you like to promote?
You like can find more of me on, Instagram is Joanna Angel, Twitter, Joanna Angel. They're both verified accounts. Please don't talk to like a fake one. TikTok, Joanna Angel X. And you could see all my new content. Talk to me, hang out with me, whatever, on my OnlyFans, onlyfans.com/Joanna Angel. Come find me. I'm there. And I'm I don't know. People think, I guess a thing I want everyone to know, like I'm not retired, you know? People like think they see me doing a podcast and they're like, are you retired? You know, they see that I don't live in LA anymore. And they're like, are you retired? Okay. You know, like everything. When I remember when I wrote my, you know, when I, my first book was published, so like, are you retired? It's like, no, but it's like porn stars can do other things, you know, like just because I like outdoor activities and
you're camping, you know, and they're like, are you retired?
You're doing something that isn't fucking.
Yeah. What is going on? You must be retired and you must have a traumatic story to go along with it.
Right,
you know?
Right.
So I am not retired. I still have sex with everyone, you know,
yeah.
Men, women, people of all genders. People of all ethnicities.
Yeah. Very much not retired.
Girl, boy, girl. I do it all. You can find it, most of it, on my OnlyFans.
Yes. Beautiful. Thank you so much for doing the show.
Thank you. This is really fun. And my next venture in life, I really do want to see if I can do comedy. So maybe you guys can help me with that. I have so much respect for comedians, you know, like that is a tough thing to do.
Yeah.
And it's so important to laugh.
Yes.
It is so important
to
make the world laugh. I think it's so important. It's like gotten me through every tough time. When somebody makes me laugh, it's like, it gets me out of any bad mood, you know?
Hell yeah.
It's so important to laugh at yourself too.
Very.
That's the most.
That is vital.
It's vital.
We can all use more of
that. I don't trust people when they can't laugh at themselves.
Yeah,
right?
For sure.
Yeah.
It's a mark of insecurity usually.
Totally.
Yeah.
Right? So we'll see.
TV. And what's your new podcast called?
Oh, yeah. I have a podcast and I need you guys to rate dicks.
Yes.
I need you guys to rate dicks.
Let's rate dicks.
Yeah. You can, but we'll keep it a surprise. So I'm going to send you dicks and you can do like a 1 minute rating. I mean, you can really go for as long as you want, you know?
Okay.
Podcast is called Just the Tips. You can find it everywhere that podcasts are found. And our Instagram is Just the Tips XO. But yeah, I'm going to send you guys some dicks. And see what you have to say about it.
Them.
Do you want to see like a really small dick? Do you want to see a big dick?
I want to see all of it.
I want to see it. You know what? Honestly,
I'm curious.
I would like to see a unique dick. I feel like every dick besides like the length has been
kind of
oddly similar. I would like to see a unique dick.
We got a lot of different kinds of dicks.
Okay, perfect.
In my arsenal, so
amazing.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much. This has been Guys We Fucked, the anti-slut shaming podcast. We'll talk to you next Friday.
Thank you. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Guys We Fucked is presented by Luminary.
Created and hosted by Corinne Fisher and Christina Hutchinson.
Editing and music coordination by Mike Coscarelli. Theme song by Rob Patterson and Jake Kozen.
Suck my wet ass pussy.
Christina said to cut that before, but now it's in there.
Yeah, let's keep it. Who cares? With my big bag of cans, making small talk with Jonathan. I should have went to the chip shop with Steven and Dan.
What's
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
An October morning in a quiet suburb in a town in Scotland. A man is walking his dog when suddenly shots are fired from a car. The man falls to the ground and the car speeds off. An ordinary residential area, but extraordinary things happen in ordinary places.
The instinct right away was it was a political thing.
We're talking about Russian-trained, high-ranking officer in the Secret Service.
An Assassin Comes to Town, a six-part podcast. Available now, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, iHeart listener. We have a confession to make. Both iHeart and this commercial you're listening to right now would probably sound a heck of a lot better on the new Roku Pro Series TV. It's got side-firing speakers that fill your room with sound, Dolby Atmos audio that puts you right in the middle of the entertainment, and the ability to pair seamlessly with your home theater sound systems that already have surround sound and booming bass. If all that sounds too good to be true, it'll sound even better on the new Roku Pro Series. Your hearing isn't better, your TV is.